Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Anyways, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this opportunity. Help me. Amen. Okay. That's my prayer. So my name is Josh. You know, can I get everyone to move forward? This is weird. Everyone's scared of the front row. The closer you get to the anointing, the better. Come on in, get close. Let's all be a family. Let's fill in these front seats. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, so my name is Josh McDonald. I am as homeboy. What's your name?
Luke.
As Luke said, I am from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm actually originally from Michigan, but I live in Kansas City now, and it's just awesome living there. It's really fun to be a part of the International House of Prayer. I do serve on staff there, but that's pretty much not at all what I do. I travel full time. I travel about 10 days a month all over. I was just in Florida 2 weeks ago. I just was in Arizona 3 days ago, and now I'm here in Dallas for the week, actually kind of on vacation. My wife's actually here, but we're staying in McKinney, which is like an hour from here. So my son is about worn to the max this weekend, and so she stayed back, unfortunately. But it's just been a great time. I'll give you a 5-minute version of who I am. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a cocaine trafficker. Went to prison when I was 17 years old in Detroit, Michigan, for selling coke. And by a miracle from the Lord, I got sent to a Christian rehab in Traverse City, Michigan in 2009. And on November 11th, 2008. And on November 11, 2008, I'm in this Christian rehab. I was supposed to have a prison sentence that would still have me in prison to this day. But by a miracle from the Lord, by His mercy, I got sent to this rehab. And I hated Christians because I grew up around the big mega church. My parents were deacons in the church, and I saw hypocrisy and I saw the nonsense. And I said to myself, if Jesus Christ is this way to heaven that you guys claim, then okay, when I'm 90 years old, I'll say a prayer and then I'll be good. But for now, I'm going to go crazy. Well, I went real crazy, and I turned into a heroin addict and just a mess. And on November 11, 2008, the audible voice of the Lord came to me and said, Josh, I love you so much. I wish you'd surrender your life to me. And that's all it took. And on that day, I gave my life to Jesus. November 12th, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just went on a journey ever since. I moved to Kansas City about 6-7 months later, where that's where I met my wife, and we've been there now for about 5 years. And in the last couple years, the Lord has birthed a school that I started. Me and a guy started a school called the Awake Love School. It's a traveling school. We do about 30 schools a year. All over America, and then I do my own little traveling stuff too. And God's just on the move. I get the privilege to, you know, be all over the place all the time. I get to, you know, I'm out of town almost more than I am in town, and I get the privilege to see what God is doing all over America. I get to go, you know, from the east to the west, to the south to the north, and I get to see all the amazing places and the pockets and the glory pockets and what God's doing, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome. And I coming here today, I was asking the Lord this morning, and the Lord gave me a word, and it's the same word I gave this morning at Haas, and it's even more relevant for you guys, because from what I understand is you are embarking on 8 years in the House of Prayer. Is that true? Okay, good. That would have really been dumb if you weren't, because everything would have just fell apart if it wasn't. No, I think Brad told me you guys are embarking on 8 years, and the Lord is a very prophetic God. And I believe He's way more prophetic than we think. And really, everything means something. I personally believe that. I believe the time you wake up every day means something. I believe that it's very significant to pay attention to numbers. It's significant to pay attention to seasons. And God actually wants us to be a people that understand His supernatural world, that we can live from His place and stop living in the earth's place all the time. Because constantly we're bound by all kinds of nonsense. We let people's opinions dictate our lives. You know, if someone screws us over, we're bummed out, we're depressed, we're angry about it. We let everyone mold us and shape us. But God says, you're not a citizen of this earth anymore. You are a citizen of heaven. And so God wants us to live from this place all the time while we're on this place. And when we live in this place, we affect this place. Does that make sense? And the Bible says that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the more that you live from His place, the more that your mind gets renewed, and the more and more and more you get to be a carrier of His kingdom. Okay? And so I believe that the number eight is really significant. I'm going to talk to you about the number eight this morning. I had a message, but the Lord hijacked my message and got me on this whole thing this morning. And this is about this morning, literally like an hour before I preached, the Lord started talking to me about this number eight thing. And so I've been trying my best to process it, you know. And so you guys are embarking on an 8-year journey in the house of prayer, and I believe that you guys are entering into the new. How many here are in the house of prayer in this church? So pretty much all you guys are part of the house of prayer at some level. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So I believe you guys, I believe Forerunner Fellowship, and I believe that what is the name of your guys' prayer room?
The prayer room.
Is it really called the prayer room?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that's lame, but that's sweet. The prayer room. So it's like, so when other houses of prayer come up on the rise, you're like, listen, we're the prayer room. You guys can call yourself whatever, but we're the prayer room. We were here before you. So you guys are on a new journey. You guys are on a new season. You're about to transition into something new. So everyone look to your partner and say, new. Look the person next to you and say, we're embarking on something new. Okay, so check this out. So 2013 is in the Hebraic calendar. How many of you know that God's calendar is different than the American calendar? Does everyone know that?
Yeah.
Did you guys know that we actually are supposed to live by the Hebraic calendar? Like, yes, we have, you know, our dates that we live by, but in the spiritual world, you know that we're actually supposed to pay attention to God's calendar, and His calendar is the Hebraic calendar. In His calendar, August 7th was the beginning of the month, okay? And we just entered into a new month called the month of Elul. Last month was the month of Av, and Av represents. How many of you had a rough month last month? It just seemed to be tough. Did anyone else have that? Yeah. You want to know why? Because in God's Hebraic calendar, the month of Av is entering through the eye of a needle. Okay, who knows what I'm talking about in the Bible, where Jesus said it's easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Last month was the eye of the needle, but for those who've made it through the narrow gate of last month, this month there's a transition into the new, and it's a month of blessing and prosperity. I know you hear a lot of people say this is the year of prosperity and favor, but it really is, because also on God's calendar, 2013 is the year of the camel, which actually does mean prosperity and favor. And canceling of debts. That's what this year means. And I know in my wife and I's life, because we begin to enter into the feast, we begin to enter into the Jewish world, and declaring what God says about seasons, I've seen it in my own life. We've had an amazing year of prosperity, and it's just been amazing. And but back to this number eight thing, okay? God is on the move, and the number eight means this. Number eight means resurrection, restoration, and the new era or a new beginning. Okay? Resurrection, restoration. Resurrection, restoration, regeneration in a new order. Okay? That's what number, and then it's not a mistake that today is August 11th, 8-11. Romans 8-11 says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Okay. Now, this month that we have entered into is a month of resurrection power, but not just necessarily you're going to pray for a dead person to be raised. I pray that that does happen, but I also pray that no one's dying either, so it's kind of one of those things. But it's more of a spiritual matter, because there's this thing called, how many of you know in Proverbs it says that hope deferred makes a heart sick, okay? And so the Lord is saying that He's going to resurrect dreams and visions and declarations that you have lost hold of, that you've lost sight of, and you've. How many of you have a prophetic word over your life, or something, or a promise, or that you just have been going, okay, Lord, when is this thing going to come? And some of you may even have just kind of let it go and moved on with life. Come on, who here's in that place, okay? Well, I want to tell you something. God is saying, don't lose hope, because He's going to resurrect dreams in your life. For the prayer room, guys, He is going to resurrect some things that was spoken about this ministry. You guys are coming into a new. You guys are entering into a new season. There's a new building coming. I want to tell you that right now. There's a new building coming for the house of prayer, and there's a new building coming, and you're not going to be here much longer. You're not going to be in this place much longer. God is about to do a massive shift, and there's a financial prosperity coming to the prayer room, and you're not going to have this building anymore. Amen. You're not going to have to share this room anymore. Okay? Somebody say amen. Say, I receive that word. She's going, man, I hope so. Brad's wife is like, I sure hope so. Okay? Now check this out. We're going to go through a couple things in the number eight. Check this out. How many of you know about the flood? Noah and the flood, okay? Now, how many of you know that after the flood, the earth was pretty much destroyed, and now we have a new earth, right? And there was eight people that remained. And Noah, out of the eight, was the one who kind of established order. Somebody say establishing order. Establishing order, okay? So the number eight is significant in the very beginning, okay? Because in that time when the Lord flooded the earth, he rose up eight people to come in and to establish the new thing, okay? We know that in the Feast of the Tabernacles lasted for 8 days. We know that circumcision was on the eighth day, okay? Check this out. There were eight resurrections from the dead in the Bible. There were eight, really. Now, you can venture into nine, and it just depends on your interpretation, but in Acts, it talks about when Paul was stoned, and it said that he was like a dead man, but then they carried him away, and then he arose. Some people say he was rose from the dead. Some people say he was not dead. He just was almost dead, whatever that means. But there's eight resurrections in the Bible. Check this out. We're going to keep going. There was eight notable miracles that Elijah performed, and then his spiritual son with the double portion, Elisha, performed 16 notable miracles. Okay? Oh, it just goes crazy, guys. This number eight thing is nuts. And so I want to tell you guys, begin to talk to the Lord about what this means for your place, this number eight thing, okay? Because God, I believe what the Lord is saying is that there's a new thing coming to you guys. I want you guys to hear that. There's a new thing coming, and you need to believe it, okay? There's no mountain of financial debt or whatever that can stop the Lord, okay? There is a blessing coming. And with all the traveling, I understand that Brad has been doing more traveling. That's a sign also. It's a prophetic sign that God is on the move, and there's something coming new. But you guys in this room, God wants you guys corporately to come together and begin to revisit the dreams that you have, that you've let go of. Because nobody wants to have hope deferred. And God, and we're going to pray for that today, because God is going to get rid of this thing called hope deferred, and he's going to get you guys to start dreaming again, okay? Somebody say, I like that. How many of you know that God loves to dream? How many of you know that God dreamt the earth in his imagination and then spoke it out and it happened? God loves your imagination as long as you keep it holy. He really loves that stuff. Did you know that you can, in your imagination, go places with God, and then it can turn into an encounter? Do you know that a lot of your spiritual encounters that you will have will be you first looking up? Okay? All throughout the Bible, Jesus gave the invitation to come up. Okay? We pray these prayers all the time, like, God, open up the heavens and bring us there. The heavens have already been open the whole time. He's looking for people that will come up there with him, that will be seated with him in heavenly places. Colossians 3, I think it's verse 1, says, you don't have to turn there. Yes, Colossians 3 verse 1 says that, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Okay? God is asking us to begin to access a new realm of faith that causes us to live from that place where we actually live up there but affect down here. Check this out. The eternal God, who's eternal, who is never created, that'll get you, man, that'll make you sick to your stomach if you really try to think about it. Right now, try to think about God being eternal. It didn't start when the earth started. He was already there. Where was he? I don't know. it'll drive you nuts. God was never created. Nobody ever created God. He was just always there. Our minds can't go there because something has to happen. Like, in order for you to get that t-shirt, you've got to go buy it. It wasn't just there for eternity. But then if it was there for eternity, then who made the shirt? But wait, no one made your shirt because it was always there for eternity. It messes with our brain. That's why we can't think like this earth anymore, and we must find ourselves seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so, get this. The eternal God creates an earth with limitations. Why on earth would God create an earth with limitations? Why would he just create the New Jerusalem from the beginning? Right? God himself, the eternal God, creates earth, and there's a globe, and it's shaped like a globe. It's shaped like a circle, and it goes on an axis, and there's light. And there's day, and when I jump, I fall back down because there's a thing called gravity. So he makes this earth with limitations. Now check this out. But then he puts Adam, who has no limitations at all, in a world full of limitations. Why would God do that? Because Adam was made in his image. He was not ever supposed to get sick. He was supposed to live forever and basically take over the earth, right? And establish God's kingdom. So from the beginning of this whole thing, God had a plan that his kingdom would be established. And then we know that Eve blows it, and then gets Adam to blow it with her, and then here we go. Now we have the mess that we have. Now we have sickness. Now we have diseases. Now we have every issue that we have in life is because of that day. But Jesus came, took the keys back, and now we don't have to live a defeated life anymore. Okay? We live a life of Christianity that is so defeated most of the time. I mean, for real. Most of us live a life with Jesus that is so contradictory to what the Bible says about our lives. Now, are there struggles? Yes. Is there a sanctification process? Absolutely. I don't teach that false grace nonsense that the day you got saved, you became fully sanctified and fully perfected. You don't need to fast anymore. And da, 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 da. I don't teach any of that. But I do know this, that most of the body of Christ is living from defeat instead of living from a finished work of the cross. It's already been paid for, and so you must have to begin to live from that place. Okay? We can get to a place where all of the issues in our lives that normally affect us don't have to affect us anymore because an opinion of somebody or see, our emotions are basically ran by other people. Our whole life is dictated by what everybody else says about us. You know, if I say, if I tell my wife, I love you, I'm expecting an I love you back. But see, actually, I shouldn't live that way. I don't need my wife to tell me I love me for me to find acceptance. Now, there'd be an unhealthy marriage probably if my wife never told me she loved me, but that's not going to dictate my day. Okay? If I get cut off on the road or whatever, or my bank account runs dry, or I get ripped off and someone smashes my windows in my car and steals everything out of my car, that's not going to dictate my life because God says that I'm a son and that I live in his kingdom. So everything that works out, everything that's bad is going to come and work out for the good. How many of you guys know the Bible says that? It says that everything will work together for the good. And so because I live from that place, I can begin to enter into a different world where I don't have to let the earth's system and plan dictate my life, and I can actually, anytime I want, I can pull down from there to here. I have all, you and I have all of heaven's resources at our fingertips at all times, not a portion, not a measure of the Holy Spirit. When you got saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit, all of God's kingdom became your resource. But the problem is most of us live in about 3% of it, and we don't have faith for anything. But God is saying, guys, it's time to realign ourselves and begin to understand my promises over you. Begin to step into his seasons. That's why I'm talking about this number 8 thing, because this is a season that we're in right now from the Lord. And we must begin to think like he thinks, guys. We have got to, we don't have the right to manifest our old self anymore. It's been done with. It's been done with. And when that old nonsense of your old self rises up, you just say, no, it's not me. I'm a new creation in Christ. It's unbelievable, this gospel. This gospel is unbelievable. When you mess up and do something, God doesn't accuse you of that. He calls you higher all the time. God is always calling us higher. That's what grace is for. Grace is so that we will live from a higher place. Grace isn't so that we can veg out and then use grace to say, well, thanks. You know, God's got some grace on you, brother. Relax. You know, there's grace for that. No. God's grace is so that I can live to the full potential of my calling. Do you guys know this? There is actually enough grace to get you to a place of living sinless days. I really believe it. I believe there's a such thing. I believe there's a such thing of days where you can walk in victory of the Lord. And when I say sinless days, I mean days where you always are making the right decision. Now, the Bible says that, you know, he who says he has no sin is a liar. You know, we all have sin. We have a sin nature. But you can actually live from a place of grace where you are so caught up in this world that when someone cuts you off on the highway, you can always, instead of getting angry, you can make the right decision. When someone slaps you in the face, you hand them $100 and say, bless you. I'm serious, guys. We can live from this place. And I believe the Lord is wanting to stir you guys back up because I feel like there's some just weary hearts in this room. I feel like there's just some people that are bogged down with life and whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's all that matters. Trust me, it was way worse than rent being late. It was much worse than not knowing if, you know, how you're going to fill your gas tank tomorrow. It's much worse than any kind of sickness that's going on in your body, because I know it's hard to struggle with sickness, but I'm telling you, press through, because it is God's will for your life to be healed. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that, well, God's trying to teach me something through my sickness. We make alignments with our sickness. Okay? That's a whole other topic. But point is you must understand that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are a new creation in Christ. The old man is gone and the new has been put on you. And that new man is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when you look in the mirror, you see God. Can you believe that? You see God. When I look in the mirror, I am in the image of Christ. And so that means if I'm in the image of Christ, that means, holy smokes, verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 5 says, I have been given the ministry of reconciliation also. Christ has actually given me his ministry, because he's not here anymore. His spirit is with us, but Jesus isn't here anymore. He has given us the ministry of Jesus Christ. You have been given the ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth. Are you Jesus Christ? No. But you have the same resources that Jesus did. Exactly what I just said, Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You know also that John 14:12 says that that you will do the same works Jesus did and even greater. Jesus said there are going to be a group of people that are actually going to do greater works than even I'm doing right now. Does that make you greater than Jesus? No. Doesn't make you greater than Jesus, but what Jesus was saying is I'm going to give you this unlimited amount of resource, and you're going to have a lot more time than I did to do stuff with it. You're going to have more time than I did to go do stuff with it. So now that I'm gone, here's the helper, the Holy Spirit. And notice that once the disciples in the book of Acts received their baptism, they went out and underneath their identity, not because they were, you know, given an assignment of rules, now go evangelize and do outreaches. No, they just went. There was no assignment other than go preach the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't have a meeting place. They just went. And out of the overflow of being sons of God, how can you become a son of God? I'll tell you how. Romans says that those who are led... Let's go there. Romans 8:14, I believe it is. Romans 8. I hope I'm right. 8:14. Yes, check this out. So, we know... Who here knows what I'm talking about? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Okay. So the disciples are in the upper room. Jesus says, go tarry into Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So the disciples get filled with the Holy Spirit and they go and impact the world because they understand who they are. Because they're being led by the Spirit. And they're sons of God. How do you become a son of God? Check this out. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, from whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so the disciples went out and about, and the Apostle Paul and all the homies, they went out and they tore up the world for Jesus, not because of a religious duty, because they got to do their outreach hours, but because they understood who they were, and they said, we have got to go do something with this gospel, because people do not know him and they're going to hell when they die. And we now have been given a ministry of reconciliation. And the reason why people flocked to Jesus and the disciples wasn't because they were great teachers, but because the signs and the wonders followed them. Come and see this man who told me everything about my life. The man, the blind man, goes to the place, to the synagogue or whatever, you know? And the miracles drew the crowds to them. Isaiah says that they will come to the brightness of our rising. That's what Isaiah says. It doesn't say that they'll come to the brightness of his rising. They'll come to the brightness of our rising. So arise and shine. Okay? When you begin to understand who you are as a son, you begin to manifest the kingdom everywhere you go, and people begin to come to you because they see the brightness of your rising. It's Jesus that's making us bright. But people are attracted to the real thing. People aren't attracted to another talk, another preach. If I'm just here to give you another talk, then I'll just go home. Okay? I am not doing this to be a job thing. I'm just going to, you know, God gave me this gift to talk, so I'm just going to travel all over and talk and make money doing it. No. If my messages aren't thumping your guys' heart and causing you to actually respond, then this is for nothing. We have been so taught beyond our intellect. It's time for us to begin to actually experience God. You don't need another commentary, and you do not need another 10-part teaching on a subject of the Bible. It's time for you to start living the Bible. I don't care how many scriptures you know, do you live those scriptures? Are those scriptures alive in you? I don't care how much you can outfump me with your theology. Because if you're not living your theology, then your theology is pointless. Amen. Now, do we need theology? Oh, yeah. I study my Bible every single day. That's all I do, really. Pray and read my Bible and learn more about God. But if I, when I read something in the Bible, I don't go, oh, okay, I know it now, sweet. No, if I'm not living that scripture out, then it means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I could tell you all about a Fortune 500 company and tell you that I know everything about it, but then be a poor guy, but then confuse myself that I'm a rich man. It doesn't matter what I know about the Fortune 500 company. Is my Fortune 500 company doing good? You know, I could tell you everything about the game of golf. I could tell you everything about golf. I could tell you how to score. I could tell you what's a good shot. But then if I go out on the course and I'm shooting in the high hundreds, then doesn't really matter what I know about golf because I suck at golfing, right? Is there any golfers in the room? Come on, dude. I love golf, man. Come on. I shot an 80-something the other day. It was the best I've ever played in my life. That's not very good, but hundreds, there we go. By the way, guys, pick up the game of golf. Now, check this out. You can go and play golf, and it's just beautiful nature by yourself for like 6 hours and talk to the Lord and have fun while you're doing it. You know God's not very religious? You know that he hates religion, and he actually enjoys you to have fun? Do you know that I actually go, this is going to sound crazy, but I actually go golfing like 4 days a week, and I use that as a secret place time. Not every time, but I really do. I go out there, I live on this beautiful golf course, and it's 30 bucks a month, which is amazing. I'm going off about golfing right now. But I'm telling you, God is not a religious God, and he calls you a son, and he actually enjoys, son and a daughter, and he enjoys the things that you enjoy. Now when something becomes an idol, then we got an issue. You're spending way more time doing something else than being with God. But God enjoys you, man. He enjoys the things that you do. He's given you gifting so that you can learn how to operate as a son and a daughter in his kingdom with the gift, earthly gift that he's given you. Some of you, it's a gift of administration. Some of you, it's a gift of business. Some of you, you're great athletes. Some of you, whatever, your music, you're smart, you whatever your thing is, figure out how to use that. Because, see, a slave mindset will say, if I go and play, I'll just use golf for an example again. If I play 6 hours of golf, I have to give God 12 hours or else I'm a hypocrite or whatever. No, a sonship mentality says, God, you enjoy me. And Paul said that I pray always. Okay? He prayed always. Continually, Paul was in prayer. So that means he was going about life in tune with the Holy Spirit. You can be in the midst of the storm and be sleeping with God, like Jesus was on the boat. Jesus is sleeping on the boat because he knows his identity. Well, he's Jesus. I mean, he's God, but of course he knows his identity. But while the disciples are freaking out about the storm, Jesus is going, so what, guys? So what? God is in control. He's got our backs. How many of you know, a psalm says, he will prepare a table before you in the midst of your enemies. When you get seated with him in this place, you can serve him and worship him anywhere you are. And it doesn't matter. And then the darkness will come. They'll either flee or they'll come running to you. I'm serious. I see this everywhere I go, guys. I see this all the time. I was at the playground with my son and my wife, and we were there, you know, hanging out, having fun. My son's playing, and I start talking to this lady about the Lord, and it turns out that she has tumors on her abdomen, half the size of her forearm, two of them. They're this long, and they go like this. I prayed for this lady, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I felt hands that are on fire just reach into my stomach and just completely dissolve my tumors." This happened at the playground with my son. This really, really happened, guys. I'm serious. I'm serious, man. I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida recently. I had the privilege to pray for a man who had 7 months to live within, because he was dying of stage 4 bone cancer, okay? In 12 hours, the Lord completely took his cell count, or his cancer cell count, down to zero, and actually restored his bone marrow and his body. How do we know? Two weeks later, he breaks his leg and goes to the hospital, and they said, you have the bone marrow of a 20-year-old. This guy's 59 years old, and he's a drug addict and an alcoholic. The testimony was actually published in last month's issue of Charisma Magazine. They ran the whole story of this man being healed of stage 4 bone cancer. It was just amazing. And God does this stuff everywhere we go, or he should do it everywhere we go, because when I pray for somebody, it's not about, well, he must have had unbelief, prophets without honor in his hometown. You know, don't use those scriptures ever. Don't do that stuff, man. Don't have an excuse. You are a son of God. You are an ambassador of his kingdom, the Bible says. You are a citizen of heaven. You are seated with him in heavenly places. And so it's time for the body of Christ to arise and to overcome. Okay? And that is the season that we're in right now. It's a season of resurrection power. He's going to resurrect your finances. He's going to resurrect a lot of things in your life. Old dreams. Some of you have debt. It's going to be canceled, but you need to hear the Lord on how he's going to cancel it. Okay? It's time for us to live. The point of this message right now is that it's time for us to live in this place. Okay? It's time for us to live in this place. It's time to pay attention to the way the Spirit's leading you in your life. Pay attention to the times you're waking up in the morning. Write your dreams down. Pay attention to your dreams. Pay attention to signs that you're driving by on the highway. Pay attention to the way God is trying to speak to you, because I promise you, he's not only just speaking to you by just hearing those whispers. He's speaking to you everywhere you go. I'm telling you, it's so prophetic. It is so stinking prophetic, our lives are. And we miss so much of what God's doing because we're just so busy. Pay attention to things, okay? You know, really, I know this sounds crazy, but, you know, those times you have those divine moments where you meet someone special, and then look at your watch and see what time it was. That's, you know, and write it down. Man, today, you write it in your journal. Today, I met this awesome lady, and we got to pray, and she gave me a word for my life that was really accurate, and it happened at 3:57, and then all of a sudden, you have a dream, and in the dream, there's a chalkboard. On the chalkboard, it says James 3:57 or something, and you go, oh my gosh, this is crazy. What are you trying to say, Lord? This is the way he is. This is the way God is. It's almost like God is the Riddler from Batman, and he's got this puzzle, and he's wanting to put all the pieces together in your life, but the only way the puzzles get put together is by living Romans 8:14, being led by the Spirit. Amen. Seriously. God has a storybook for your life. It's already written, but we sometimes go off that path. But he still restores it when we do, as long as we're not in sin. You know, he restores those paths, but there is this path that God has for us. But he wants us to search it out. And I bet he has fun with it. Oh, I bet he has so much fun with it. I could just see him. He's driving down the street, and he's like, puts that random sign right there that's going to say something that's going to totally minister to your life. And it really is, though. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you actually pay attention to this stuff, and you go, this is crazy? This is just crazy how, like, I was here, and because I was here, I met this person, and then I met this person because I was there. And I mean, how many of you just read the book of Acts and just freak out at everything that happened? You're just like, oh my gosh, they were in the right place all the time, every time. You know, if you look at, like, I think it's like Acts, I think it's like Acts 19 through 21. Peter goes on this little journey. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong. Let me check real quick. Peter goes on this journey. It's just a trip. No, not Acts 19. Sorry. I'm not going to necessarily teach this whole thing right now because we're getting ready to wrap up, because I want to make sure to pray for you guys. I don't like to really talk very long. I like to just stir you guys up and then pray for you. That's really what I do. I try to keep my messages to about a half hour. But if you ever just go through and read the book of Acts and just start paying attention, not to necessarily the miracles that happened, but how it was like this big, intertwined, perfect story. So in Acts 9, Peter is he's somewhere. And he prays for this man who was paralyzed for 8 years. I think his name was Aeneas. And Aeneas gets healed. And so because Aeneas gets healed, there's this revival that sparks. Okay, there's this revival that sparks. And it says, I believe, this revival was so intense that, let me just look at it real quick. So he's in Lydda. And check this out. So he's in Lydda, and Aeneas gets healed, which then stirs this thing in Lydda, right? The next town over from Lydda is a town called Joppa. And in Joppa is a disciple named Tabitha who has got sick and died. And so the people that are tight with Tabitha find out that Peter is over in Lydda and this little thing's breaking out. So they go over to Lydda. They get Peter, bring him to Joppa. Peter doesn't even pray for her. He just speaks to her. He says, get up. And she raises from the dead. And it says that every single person in Joppa got saved. Wow. All of them. All of them. Imagine if you go pray for someone who's well known in this in Arlington who's got cancer, and the whole city comes to Jesus. Now check this out. So Peter originally was, I don't think he had in mind that he was going to Lydda and then Joppa and then Caesarea, I believe, is where he goes next. So you think Peter probably didn't know that, but he's being led by the Spirit. People are getting healed. So now Peter is he's in Joppa now because this revival has broken out. So he ends up staying there longer than normal, and he ends up staying with a man named Simon. Okay, and so he's with Simon. Now check this out. And the next town over is I believe it's Caesarea, is the next town over. I think it is. Give me 1 second. I just want to make sure I'm not being a heretic. No, get this. When I was talking about the revival, it says that all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon, so two cities, could completely saved. Okay? So you go through, here, Tabitha gets raised from the dead. Sorry. When Aeneas got healed, that's whenever, when the guy who got, the guy who was paralyzed for 8 years, that's when the revival breaks out. Then he prays for Tabitha. She gets healed, gets rose from the dead, and it says that it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. See, it became known all throughout Joppa that Jesus Christ is on the move because of his supernatural power. It's his supernatural power that'll draw the masses. Why is America, get this, do you know that America is less than 10% believers? Do you know that we are almost just as unreached as any other place in the world? How is that possible when there's more churches on every street corner than there is gas stations? It's because there's no power and the church has no clue about what I'm talking about right now. So the last place a young man trying to find acceptance, trying to find fun, the last place he's ever going to go is go walk into Living Hope Church. Or wherever church went right now. That's not a bash on this church at all. But the last place, why, and now this actually would be a great place because you guys are Spirit-led Christians, but why is it, why does the world have that mindset about the church? Because it's true. They didn't just make that up. They've been to church. They've seen how whacked out it is. They've seen how dry it is. So they'll smoke a joint, drink a beer, and do LSD because they think that's a lot more fun. And they'll start tapping into the new world, or into new age nonsense. And all of a sudden, they're in this spiritual world because there's no Christians that are understanding their authority and who they are in Christ. And so people are running from the church, okay? But the miraculous, being out on the streets, is going to cause people to start running to the church. I'm serious. When the miraculous power, and it's coming again to America. The last revival that America saw, the last, it's debatable, but we had the Azusa Street Revival in 1910, I believe, okay? I believe it was 1910 in Los Angeles with the Azusa Street Revival with a guy named William Seymour, who was a blind man. His left eye was blind, and people would come to the Azusa Street unsaved. They'd be walking with their homies on their way to the bar or whatever, and they'd get slain in the spirit in the sidewalk outside of Azusa Street. Then we had the Brownsville Revival in Brownsville, Florida, or in wherever that was, Pensacola, Florida. How many of you guys know about the Brownsville Revival that broke out with John Kilpatrick and Steve Hill, great man of God who actually lives here, pretty close to you guys, Steve Hill does. And then we had the Lakeland Revival, you know. And I mean, you can debate on whether those were revivals or not. I think they were more just outpourings and refreshings, you know. And we had the Awakening at the International House of Prayer. Those are all great and whatnot, but there is a move like what happened at Azusa Street coming again to America. How do we know? Because the House of Prayer is on the arise. The praying church. It's not just a thing to do. Guys, the House of Prayer is not just it's the cool new thing, right? No, God's is something bigger, it's a bigger picture. There's over 3,000 houses of prayer in America right now. Over 3,000 houses of prayer in America. Why is God raising up his House of Prayer? Two reasons. One, because revival's coming to this land, and it's through the prayers of the saints that this revival is going to be ushered in. And two, Jesus is coming back, and our prayers are ushering in his return. Okay? And so we're on the brink of something huge, guys. We're on the brink of something huge. But here's the thing. If you can't be faithful now without revival, you're going to get offended during revival. That's the thing. So you need to understand who you are now as sons of God, not just waiting for a tickly and a touch. He didn't say he can't give the Holy Spirit to give you warm fuzzy so you'd fall on the floor and shake. Now, that stuff happens, but that's not what the Holy Spirit's for. The Holy Spirit says that you have, in Acts 1:8, it says that I have given you the Holy Spirit to be empowered to be my witnesses. Because with the power of the Holy Spirit, you actually become an accurate witness to God. You walk in power where people are convinced. Okay? I see it every day, everywhere I go. Almost every day, everywhere I go, because I understand who I am, not because I'm an evangelist. Let me tell you this right now. The only difference between an evangelist and someone who's not called to be an evangelist is the equipping of the saints. That's it. I've studied the teaching very thoroughly. The evangelist, the only difference between an evangelist and a pastor, or an evangelist and a whatever, see, is the equipping of the saints. Because the fivefold ministry is for the strengthening, the edification, the equipping of the saints. It is not an excuse to look at someone like me and say, well, he's an evangelist, he has that extra grace on his life. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that an evangelist has extra grace on his life to tell someone about Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Anywhere. The only difference is I have a calling on my life to equip the saints in the work of evangelism. 2 Timothy 4:5. Okay? I'm all over the place right now. Did you guys get the number 8 thing? What I was saying with the number 8? The resurrection, the regeneration, the new era that's coming? August is that month right now, and so it's time to really, really begin to declare this stuff over your personal life and over your ministry. There's a new thing coming. Dang, this thing is... I got these toe shoes. And how many of you guys know Todd White is? You guys know... Does anyone know Todd White is? Todd White's a real good friend of mine, and he's been trying to get me to buy a pair of these for 2 years, and I was just like, bro, you're kidding. Like, I'm not going to buy a pair. And finally I did. And they've changed my life. Seriously, guys, buy a pair of these. Your feet get strengthened. Your calves get all... And it's crazy. I was in... Here's a testimony of... total side note. I was in Detroit 2 weeks ago. And I was in Detroit, and I had been wearing these shoes for a month straight, nothing else. Getting my... Because I was, like, so sore in the beginning wearing these things. And I had a pair of Nikes on. I was in downtown Detroit, and I gave them away to this homeless guy. And I had to walk through downtown Detroit for 4 hours without shoes on for the rest of the day. And I forgot that I didn't have shoes on because of how strong my feet were now. It's just awesome. Anyways, that's a plug. Vibram's going to write me my check now. Make sure you guys get this teaching over to Vibram so I can get my sponsorship or something. Free tennis shoes. I'm trying to get the Southwest deal too, Southwest Airlines. I'm always plugging Southwest Airlines, but I haven't got my thing yet. But anyways, so begin to declare this over you guys, over yourself, over your personal life, the number 8. And study it out for yourselves. Do more study on the number 8. But the number 8 is so stinking significant for this season right now. And then, and the reason why I went into all of the identity stuff is because God wants you to understand all this stuff, but you won't understand all this stuff until you just first and foremost understand that you're a son and you're a daughter of God. When you understand that, you won't get messed up anymore about life. Life circumstances will not mess with your life anymore. Do they stress you out sometimes? Yes, but they won't dictate the way that you make decisions any longer if you understand what God says about you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your issue is, God actually still says you're a son. As hard as that is to fathom, you could be in total sin and you're just struggling so hard to get out of it. God does not call you a sinner. He actually calls you a son of God. And he wants you to arise higher and say, listen, dude, I already paid for this thing. I paid for your sin. I finished. It says, it didn't say that it was partially finished. He said, it is finished. That's what he said over your life. And so when you step into the kingdom, there is a transfer that happens. Now, it's a mystery on why we still have lingering things with generational curses and all the different things. It's a mystery. It really is a mystery. But I know that the power of the blood of Jesus is way stronger than anything. And like I said about you get transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the more and more that you declare what God says about you, you get transformed. And it breaks things off of you. Instead of fighting your sin with all your strength and might and repenting and repenting and repenting, what if you just declared what Jesus says about you in the midst of your temptation? instead. Don't I rebuke you, Satan. You know, when temptation rises up to do something you're not supposed to do, whatever that is in your life, that issue that you have, you don't even address Satan. You don't even address him. Now, there are times to address him. You know, there's different things. There's infirmities and things you need to just break stuff off of. But with your struggles in life, don't quit rebuking Satan because you're giving him so much attention. You just declare who you are. Instead of going, no, Satan, no, I rebuke you. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for a drive and get out of here. You say no. You slow yourself down and you stop for just a moment because the Bible says that he always makes a way of escape for you. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, I think. It says that there's no sin or temptation that will overbear you. He will always make a way of escape. And so you ask the Lord for that escape route, and then you declare who he says about you. No, I'm not going to do this because the Bible says that I am a son seated at the right hand of the Father. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to do that stupid thing. You know. And when you begin to live like that, you'll get so much more free from your issues than trying to fight battles with Satan all day because he's a pretty strong guy, Satan. Is. He's a pretty strong guy, and he knows he'll kill your flesh. He has 100% authority over your flesh, but he has no authority over your sonship and in the spirit realm. So that's why you declare who you are, not fighting with your strength, because you don't have physical strength. You only have his strength. Amen. Does that make sense, guys? I'm going to finish with a story of something that happened to me last night at Chuck Pierce's. Who of you guys know what Chuck Pierce is? Just a phenomenal man of God. If you don't know what Chuck Pierce is, I encourage you to go to Corinth, Texas, and really get to go to Chuck Pierce's ministry. He's got a ministry in Corinth, Texas. Probably, I would probably say, what is it? How far is Corinth from here? Does anyone know? It's in the Denton area. How far is it? Okay, you guys seriously need to go drink from his well. He's got a ministry called Glory of Zion International. He's got this massive place called the Global Sphere Center. Powerful place. I spent the weekend there this weekend for this. My buddy Jeff was speaking at his conference, and it was just so phenomenal. You guys got to get under this place and just drink from his well. It's a place where you can just do it everywhere. You can run up on stage and do a backflip off it. It's just so, everyone's blowing shofars everywhere, running with flags. I mean, the weirdest of the weird come out. But it's amazing. And he has this prayer garden. He has this 12 tribes of Israel prayer garden that's like the size of a football field. It's literally like a $1 million garden. It's unbelievable. And all of the plants and all the vegetation, everything that you see and you're walking around is from Israel. So all the dirt gets shipped in from Israel, all the plants, everything, it's all from Israel. It's amazing. It has 12 stations for the 12 tribes of Israel. And so I was there yesterday and for this conference that Chuck was putting on, and I met this lady from Oklahoma out in the garden, and we were talking, and she was real interested in what I do and the Wake Love School and all that, and she goes, do you want to come and see the portal? And I'm like, the portal? Really? There's a portal? You know, I at a place like this, of course, there's a portal somewhere. You got to find it. And so she takes me over to the tribe of Gad. Okay? I'm still researching on what this tribe of Gad, what the significance of that was. But so we're over in the tribe of Gad at this thing, and she goes, okay, it's right here. And I step into this spot, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes on me. Not in a way where I was like on the ground necessarily, but I just could feel his presence. I felt the warm, kind of tingly, you know, butterfly-y feeling that you get when the Holy Spirit's there. And I was like, wow, yeah, I feel the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden these two angel feathers just come, shh. I got them in my wallet. Dude, these two angel feathers come down right in front of my face. And this is normal, guys. When you begin to understand your sonship and live from a supernatural world, you'll see this stuff happen all the time. There's mysteries in heaven that he actually brings to earth. That's why I know this is a funny topic to talk about. You know, you're seeing people get like gold dust on their hands and things like that. That stuff is all just realities of a supernatural kingdom and his angelic presence in the room. And so these angel feathers, this is a real angel feather, guys. There wasn't like a seagull that like, you know, came and dropped his feathers on us. And how do I know? Because I went through a 2-month season where I angel feathers literally every time when I would pray, they would literally come floating out of the sky like this, or they would be at my feet or something. Malachi 4 says that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Okay, and also the Psalms that talks about, you know, we're shadowed under his wings, you know, and all that stuff. And so these two angel feathers come down, and then all of a sudden, the lady goes, "Do you feel that weight?" And then right when she said that, I felt the weight come on me. And it was like somebody had come up from behind me and just put their hands on my shoulders and pressed just a little bit. And all of a sudden, I feel weight. It's like someone has their hands on my shoulders. And my wife looks over, and there's two handprints on each side of my shoulder, completely gold dust. Handprints on each side of my shoulders. Okay? And the Lord began to speak to me about his healing wings. He began to speak to me about his healing wings and all this prophetic stuff. And so I knew that I was supposed to bring these to Haas and to here today. And this is going to sound funny, but I actually was wiping people's foreheads with this feather day, and they were getting slain in the spirit. It was amazing. You were there. You were there. You saw the gold dust that was all over my hands. There was an angelic, he saw it. There was an angelic presence in the room. It was really, really amazing. And I believe God wants to do that. I know that stuff's really out there and mystical, but it really isn't, though, because it's resources from heaven that come to earth when his angelic presence is in the room. Did you guys know that right now there's angels standing right behind me on this pulpit? Now, some people have a seer gift and they can really see it. There's real awesome people that have a great, I want it. I've been asking the Lord for that seer gift, but there are angels right here. Did you guys know that you all have an angel that walks with you? He's assigned to you? Seriously, we all have angels that walk with us. We really do. I've never seen my angel, but people see my angel all the time. He's 9.5 feet tall, and he's standing right here next to me right now. And I can tap into it. He can help me all the time. All the time, guys. You can begin to see weird, supernatural signs that just make you wonder. Signs and wonders, right? There's signs and then there's wonders. Somebody say wonders. Wonders. And God wants to show you these wonders because he wants to confirm to you that he's here in your life and that you can live from that place. You can look up. You can close your eyes. And you can begin to imagine yourself sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when you use your holy imagination, all of a sudden, you'll watch your imagination start wandering, and you're not doing that anymore. And all of a sudden, someone just took control of your imagination. All of a sudden, you're doing something awesome with Jesus. This stuff is real. So I encourage you guys, when you're in the secret place, don't have a systematic like, okay, you know, from 10 to 10:30, I do secret place time, and I get quiet and I read this. I encourage you guys just to start sitting back and beginning to just imagine yourself seating with Christ in heavenly places. And begin to imagine, what does it look like up there on that throne? God, what does it look like? And you just talk to the Lord like this, and then all of a sudden, sometimes what will happen is you'll be, you know, you have this picture in your head, like there's this big gold chair. Like right now, this picture, I'm sitting in this big gold chair, or I'm sitting next to one, and there's Jesus with a crown on his head, and it's got purple, and it's got green, and it's got red gemstones all around his crown. And you just go there, and it's okay to do that, because you imagine yourself seating with him in heavenly places, and then sometimes what will happen is he'll take you into a vision. All of a sudden, your mind will wander into something where you realize, holy cow, I'm not actually imagining that anymore. Jesus just took me somewhere. And he, you know, oh, it's just so much fun, guys. And when this stuff happens, you realize, wow, like, Jesus is really up there in heaven. And did you know that you could go up to heaven right now and pinch his skin and he'd probably get mad at you because it hurt? He's up there with a real body. He ascended back into heaven. He didn't die again. He ascended up there. He's there, really. He really is there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father praying for you every day. Hebrews 7 tells us that. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus is your dad. He's not your boss. He's your dad. If my relationship with my earthly father is that he's my boss and my taskmaster, then I'll have a wrong mindset about God. But if my dad, Dwight MacDonald, is in heaven, and I know that he's there, and I know that he's my dad, I know that he wants to give me gifts from heaven. It's like being at a mall with an unlimited gift card for Christmas, and I would only hope that my dad would let me get some of those presents, you know, with his unlimited gift card, right? Well, that's really how it is with Jesus, guys. He's up there, and he actually wants to show you things. He wants to give you things. That's why weird things like this happen. Because it's not so that you can go and like make a teaching about angel feathers. It's about the fact that, hey, dude, I'm actually right here with you, man. Check this out. I'm gonna give you an angel feather to show you that this is real. I'm gonna make your hands glittery to show you that I'm with you. I'm gonna put oil on your hands, man. You're gonna feel the oil, or just all the different little fun supernatural things that God does. But this is the place you guys can live from, okay? I hope I stirred you guys up to live as sons and daughters of God. I changed my message. I really didn't preach this at all this morning at Haas, but Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Teaching prophetically is really hard. It's so much easier to just have a teaching. Like, I have teachings that I just let it rip all the time. But the Lord's been speaking to me about, and I'm going to wrap it up. The Lord's been speaking to me about how relevant He is to everyone's lives. And that a lot of times we get, you know, especially for me being a minister, I can get so caught up in, like, I got my anointed messages that are on my heart that I can just go preach anywhere. But that's great, and it's good, and people will get stirred. But what is God saying about the house that I'm going to? You know, when you're going to have coffee with your girlfriend or doing whatever, you're going to play golf with your buddy, like, it doesn't have to always be prophecy and spiritual all the time, but what is, God's a relevant God. What is He saying about your time of coffee? What does He want to do? You know what I mean? And so I believe that this is what the Lord had for you guys today. I believe this is what He had for me to speak today on 8/11. That the number 8, and it just so happens that you guys are on your 8-year anniversary too for the House of Prayer, guys. He's a relevant God, and I believe this is what He's saying about your lives. He wants you guys to begin to be seated with Him in heavenly places, okay? And He wants you to begin to declare the promises that He has for you in this season, okay? Start studying this stuff. Start understanding the Hebraic calendar. And you guys might be already doing it. Begin to ask the Lord, what is your place? What is your involvement in the Jewish world? Like, am I supposed to start hosting feast gatherings at my house? Am I supposed to start celebrating Passover? And the answer is yes, because the Bible says to keep the feast, it says. And so God wants us to, we forget that Jesus is Jewish. All of His parables that He taught were to a Jewish system. That's why His parables are so goofy sometimes. We're like, man, you could have made that a little more practical, Jesus. No, it was. It was so practical because it wasn't to Americans. It wasn't to the American church. It was to a religious Jewish system. I'll go off in one more thing, real quick. Do you know the parable of the foolish virgins, 10 virgins? You know, it's interesting. It's like, why would He say that? You know, why wouldn't He just be like, there's 5 that love Jesus and there's 5 that are a little bit lukewarm and the ones that love me are going to know me better. You know, like why couldn't He made it easy like that? But instead He gives this parable of foolish virgins, 5 have oil in their lamps and 5 don't. So check this out. So, have any of you studied this before? You have? So the brides or the women would adorn themselves every night. They would adorn themselves and they would trim their wick, and they would wait because in that system, in the Jewish system, the man would come. He could come at any moment, and when he came, the girl better be ready to be taken on to the wedding. Okay, really, that's why Jesus used this parable. Okay. And so the 5 that were wise were the ones that didn't lose hope, that didn't lose hope, and they said, no, I'm going to keep adorning myself night after night after night after night. I'm going to keep dressing up. I'm going to look beautiful because when my husband comes, I'm going to be ready for that day. What if he comes at the midnight hour? And so the ones that are foolish are the ones that said, well, whatever, you know, he didn't come this time, and they begin to lose their oil. And so it got to a place where the oil in the foolish virgin's lamps were low. And so then when the bridegroom came at the midnight hour, the ones that were ready got up and they were ready to go for their wedding, and the foolish ones weren't ready. That's what the parable's talking about. Now, in the allegorical spiritual side of things, what he's talking about is the reason why I told that parable was because that was the Jewish system he was living in, that he was among. You know, it's kind of like if I was evangelizing at the PGA Tour, I would talk golf talk with them, and the rest of the world would be like, why would he use that parable? You know, but that's why Jesus said the things that he said. And the only way that we can understand sonship and grace and all of that stuff is by understanding the system, the Jewish system, and understanding the law. Because what the American church has done is they have grace teachers who call themselves grace teachers, whatever that is. They make fun of the law. And they bash the law and they say, we have a better covenant now, and that's the old thing. But nobody in the Old Testament ever, nowhere in the Bible is the law a bad thing. See, but because we don't understand the Jewish system, we rag on the law and we call that religion or we call that whatever. But David said, I delight in the law of the Lord. Okay? You guys understand this stuff? Man, I'm going off into all kinds of stuff. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to pray for you guys today. So my heart this morning was to encourage you to give a word that I felt was accurate for today, for this month, for Dallas, Texas. The Lord just so happens to have me in Dallas, Texas during the month of eight, so the number eight. He just so happens to have me here in Dallas. And so I believe my assignment this morning was to stir you guys up in the house of prayer to believe God for the more. Mark my words, you're not going to be in this building anymore. I'm not going to, November 17th, you're out of here. No, I'm kidding. But there's time coming soon. Mark my words, Amy. Amy? Mark it. You're not going to be in this building much longer. I believe it's before the year is over. I believe before the year is over, you're going to have a building where the house of prayer is going to be in, and it's going to be a good enough facility to be able to host a church service on Sunday mornings also. You're not going to have to rent from this place or whatever you guys do to get this place. It's not going to happen anymore. The Lord's going to give you an upgrade, and there's money coming to fund this thing. There's money coming. There's businessmen. There are more billionaires in Dallas, Texas than any other city in America. Okay, there is finances coming. You guys are going to get a new building, and it's going to be awesome. Not so that you can boast on your new building, but you're going to need the new building. You're going to need it. It's something you're actually going to need, and you're not going to be here anymore. There's a new building coming. Does that mean anything? Are you guys looking for a new building right now? You guys are looking for a new building? You're looking, or did you get one already?
Well, we have one in mind.
You have one in mind. Okay, well, I don't know if that's the one or not, but there's a new building coming. Trust him, it's coming, okay? All right, so I'm gonna pray for you guys today. I want to anoint you guys some oil. How many of you guys believe in anointing oil? I believe in anointing oil. This anointing oil is called faith. That's the one the Lord told me to anoint people with today, was faith. Hebrews 12:2 says that he is the author and the finisher of your faith. The Bible also says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is going to be the access point for you to get into your sonship and your daughtership in the kingdom. And it's also going to be what's going to allow you to call forth and believe these prophetic promises and to resurrect your dreams. Did you do the one thing internship? Did you do the one thing internship? No? Never mind. Have you been thinking about doing the one thing internship or going to IHOP for anything?
Going to IHOP in Kansas City?
Yeah.
I actually just told her that I really wanted to go.
Okay.
Like literally 30 minutes.
I saw you in the one thing internship. I'm not prophesying you're supposed to do that internship, but the Lord just, the Lord's going to, that dream's going to come true. You're going to come to Kansas City. And that's not me promoting a ministry. I don't gain anything from you coming to Kansas City at all. But really, I just saw that over you. So faith. Faith is going to get you guys through the next season. Faith is going to allow you to access everything. The kingdom of God's currency is faith. That is how you buy and trade in the kingdom of God. It's called faith. That's how it goes down, okay? So if I want you guys to stand, homeboy.
Yes.
Bro, this guy can worship. I remember him worshiping last time I was here. Okay, so I want to pray for you guys.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.